Now more than ever, organisations worldwide must master the emerging technologies shaping the way business is done. In each episode of the Mastering Digital series, our digital gurus will speak to the key technologies, challenges and opportunities that are impacting in-house counsel in our digitally dependent world.
Hi everyone, my name is Lisa Ellman. I am Hogan Lovell's partner and chair of our Global Unmanned Aircraft Systems practice, or UAS practice, out of Washington, D.C. Over the last few years, UAS, or drones, have been transformed from toys to powerful commercial tools, and new and exciting use cases are being developed every day. The use cases are really limited only by our collective imagination. Right now, during the era of the COVID-19 pandemic, the benefits of automated transportation technologies, including drones, are clearer than ever. Drones have incredible safety and efficiency benefits. And we've seen drones utilized in emergency situations before, including to help us recover after hurricanes and other natural disasters, just as a few examples. Drones have provided sullen internet connectivity and helped us clean up after catastrophes. For example, AT&T used drones to provide cell coverage in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. But drones are also a valuable tool to enable us to work contact-free, without much or any, really, human interaction. So today, as we face the continuing threat of COVID-19 and get used to the perhaps somewhat long-term reality of social distancing, this is a game changer. So it makes sense that in countries around the world, companies and localities are seeking to utilize drone technology to help slow the spread of the virus. Drones have been used as a force multiplier to enhance public safety and law enforcement efforts, inspect critical infrastructure, and communicate essential information so that humans don't have to. Drones can deliver test kits to areas in need, deliver critical supplies like toilet paper to quarantined individuals, and expedite logistics to enhance efficiencies as personnel are forced to stay home. Now, as an in-house counsel, it is important to remember that, at least here in the United States, as well as elsewhere around the globe, the FAA considers drones to be aircraft, and therefore drones are subject to compliance with the FAA's Federal Aviation Regulations in Title 14 of the Federal Regulations. This is similar to other regulatory environments around the world, though countries do approach some issues differently, and so it's important to know the laws of your own jurisdiction. Now, there are a few types of regulations a company interested in deploying drones has to consider. First of all, it's important to understand just that the regulations differ whether you're a hobbyist or a commercial user. So depending on the underlying purpose of a drone flight, a different regulatory framework may apply. In the U.S., commercial drone operations are regulated by what's known as Part 107. The current FAA rules broadly allow only very low-risk operations or very low-risk flights broadly. Now, the FAA does have a process in place for issuing waivers to allow for more advanced operations, or exemptions, as it may be. But some of the very basic rules in Part 107 include, first, you can't fly over people or moving vehicles. So this limits the ability to fly, for example, over roads or in urban or suburban areas where people are. The drone must be flown within visual line of sight of the pilot. So that means that you have to be able to have the capability of being able to see the drone. Daylight flights only, unless you get a night waiver. You're not generally allowed to fly at night. You have to stay below 400 feet above ground level. The drone must weigh less than 55 pounds. And the operation must happen unless you otherwise get permission. The operation needs to happen in Class G or uncontrolled airspace. Again, unless you have an airspace approval that has been obtained. So here in the U.S., there are a number of federal regulations. Of course, Part 107 is one of them. There's a bunch of other things on the horizon to be aware of. But there are also state and local laws that could restrict when or where or who or for what purposes a drone may be operated. Now, most state and local laws relate to privacy and property rights issues. For example, some states have aerial trespass laws that could subject a drone operator to liability for flying over someone else's private property without the property owner's permission. Now, the FAA generally regulate safety, but states and localities regulate privacy. So it's just as important to be aware of kind of both sets of issues, including potential privacy implications, and not violate someone's reasonable expectation of privacy, for example. While the federal government here in the United States has been most focused on safety issues around the integration of UAS into our national airspace, the American public has actually been most focused on privacy issues. And so this is something that here in our country, as well as around the world, is getting some attention. So now as a general counsel, there are other things that you should be aware of if you're getting into the drone business. If you're hiring a third-party drone service provider, for example, you ought to stick to some best practices to make sure that your company is asking for a copy, for example, of the pilot's remote pilot certificate, ensure that you're using actual FAA certificated remote pilot. If the operation requires an FAA waiver or exemption or other approval, ask for a copy of that waiver or exemption or other approval to ensure that you have that on hand. And of course, you want to think about insurance. Almost all non-aviation specific property and casualty insurance policies, such as commercial general liability, exclude coverage for aircraft, which would include drones. So if your company's flying drones, make sure you close any insurance gaps or loopholes that may exist. Similarly, always ensure that your hired third parties, like the third-party service providers, are insured. And consider asking that your company be named as an additionally insured entity in the service provider's insurance coverage. Now, I also want to mention, obviously, I've been talking about drone use, but companies love drones, but they're also worried about drones. And in particular, they're worried about unauthorized drones flying over their private property for any number of reasons, right? For whether it's safety, security, or privacy reasons. And so as the drone market has taken off, so has the drone security and counter-drone technology market. You should know that this is a highly regulated space and consult with a lawyer with specialty knowledge about the legality of various technologies. Now, at a high level, counter-UAS services could include both detection and mitigation. Detection, kind of identifying what rogue drones are flying in the area, and potentially, if necessary, mitigating potential drone threats. So those technologies that are passive and generally involve identifying and tracking rogue drones only, and there are some exceptions to this, so you'd want to check, but many of these technologies are generally legal. But other companies are marketing technology that actually mitigates or stops the rogue drone by hacking or jamming its control link or GPS navigation. These technologies, at least right now in the current legal environment in the U.S., and are almost always illegal for private companies to deploy under Title 18, FCC restrictions, and other restrictions. And wherever you are around the world, you want to understand what the laws of your jurisdiction are. So in conclusion, there's incredible safety and efficiency benefits to drone technology, and it's clear why your company may be interested in deploying drones. It's important to do so safely, securely, and in line with federal and local rules. The same is true for counter-drone technology. We would be happy to help you. Thank you.